Well, I absolutely love being full of joy with women at Christmas because it does just all the things we love at Christmas time. We get to experience together. It's a little more exciting than when I ask my husband to help with the tree and he's watching football. So thank you for filling my joy bucket up. And you know, at Christmas time, really, it seems like our emotions can go from this extreme joy and hopeful anticipation of all that's coming, to maybe loneliness or frustration or despair and anything in between. And you know, that's not just what happens at Christmas. That's very much the way life is. And so through all the seasons of our lives, you know, the human experience is this bittersweet mixture of joy and pain and highs and low, bitter and sweet. And so when 200 or so of us gather in a room at Christmas time, there's always at least three types of women in the room, and I think that's true of us today. One type of women may be having a really difficult time right now. Life might be hard. They might be looking at Christmas with some sense of loneliness or dread or despair. And that can be sometimes, if that's you, that might be because you're grieving the loss of maybe a child or of a spouse or of a parent or maybe a job loss or health challenges, things that are just hard and difficult. And yet then there are going to be other women that just are finding themselves in this really, really sweet season of life, you know, where things are really, really good. And if that's you, it might be for many reasons, but it could be welcoming new life, a new baby, anticipation of a foster child or adoption, or maybe a new relationship that's just generating a lot of joy. And so Christmas is something you're really looking forward to. And then there's that middle, the third group, or kind of just when we find ourselves in the middle, right? Nothing is terribly wrong, but nothing's terribly right either. And if that describes you, it may be even that some type of little, I guess maybe low-grade despair is kind of gnawing at you, settling in as you step back and realize the days just kind of are monotonous and they blur from one day to the next. And so if that's you, you may be looking forward to Christmas just to kind of be a diversion, break up the monotony, reset the rhythm of life. But it doesn't really matter what season we're in or what we're going through. When it comes to Christmas, we all long for joy and peace and hope at Christmas time. And that's because we women live our lives from the heart. And we are the gatekeepers of relationships in our family. And Christmas is all about family. It's God's family. It's a birthday celebration. It's the birth of Christ. And so when we think of our Christmas gatherings and our preparations for that, we want everyone to be together. We want everyone to be happy. We want everyone to be nice to each other. We want everyone to enjoy their gifts. We want to give gifts that are meaningful and thoughtful and appreciated. And those are all great things. Those are all good things. But if we're not careful, what happens is we can cross over into trying to control everyone and everything to kind of help things go along the way we think that they should go. And then we can find ourselves really frustrated or disappointed or even hurt when things don't go the way that we want them to go. And you know, as I think back to my life, my husband Tom and I have been married for 29 years. And the first 10 years of our marriage was pretty rocky, pretty difficult. And I remember in those early years when I was learning to be a wife and to raise kids and to juggle everything you juggle at Christmas. And I was learning how to walk with Christ as I had just recommitted my life to Christ. And Tom had just come to Christ. And just honestly, I struggled with control in a lot of different directions. I always had a picture in my head of how things should go, whether it was something small or something big. And it's usually at Christmas what would happen is it would look like me really spending more money than we should have spent for gifts that I really shouldn't have been buying and they didn't need, but there was a picture in my head. You know, or the other way that played out at Christmas for me was I would, in the planning season and trying to figure out what we're going to do, there were arguments with Tom, hurtful words exchanged when he didn't do what I wanted him to do or think like I wanted him to think. Or even on Christmas Day, the years we were with my mom, she would frustrate me when she wouldn't do things the way I wanted her to do them. And so I'd have an exchange of hurtful, angry words. And what's so interesting is when I look back on that season, I wanted joy and peace and hope. But the very thing that I was doing, trying to make it happen, was the very thing that was keeping me from experiencing it. I didn't experience joy when I acted like that, and they didn't either. And that's because the root of control, when you trace it back, is fear. The root of control is fear. Fear of chaos, fear of pain, fear of being disappointed, let down. And fear is the opposite of joy and peace and love. And the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. And the Christmas story, I love how many times it says we don't have to be afraid. It reminds us we don't have to be afraid of chaos or pain or disappointment. We don't have to be anxious about those things because God is with us. We sang about Emmanuel. He is with us and he loves us and he is good. And so at Christmas time and every day, we can open our hands and our hearts and kind of loosen that tight grip of control that we so often try to hold on to life with that drives us, because he's with us and we can trust him. And so we don't have to be driven by these things as we strive for joy and peace and hope and love. We have to receive it through him. And that's what the Christmas story can remind us of, is if we will look at that. And so we see the words, "don't be afraid," over and over in the Christmas story. And if we look in Luke, this is where we see the angel coming to Mary, and he says, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you'll name him Jesus. He will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will not end." He says, don't be afraid, Mary. Why? Because the Savior is coming. Your Savior is coming. And we see the very same thing with the shepherds if you look in Luke 2. It says, "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them, 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David.'" They say, don't be afraid. Why? Because the Savior has come. Your Savior has come. And so for us today, we have to remember Jesus is the good news. He is the perfect love, the only one, the only thing that can drive out fear and bring great joy to all people, no matter our circumstances. And we cannot do this for ourselves, no matter how hard we try. And you know, at Christmas, we're very much about gifts. And we need to remember, whether we have a penny to spend or $100 to spend or any other amount, that the greatest gift that God has ever given humanity, that he's ever given to me, that he's ever given to you, is the offer of himself. And so the birth of Jesus that we celebrate at Christmas is literally God clothing himself in human flesh and coming to us, not because we deserve him, but because we need him. An existence without the presence of God is cold, and it's dark, and it's empty. And so in Matthew, in chapter 1, verse 23, we also see an angel appear to Joseph and say the very same thing, "Don't be afraid." And he reminds Joseph that the birth of Jesus fulfills what God had promised to his people hundreds of years before. He says, "Look, the virgin will conceive a child, She'll give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. I love that name, Emmanuel. God is with us. And so he came to us, he walked with us, and then he died to forgive us for our sins, and he rose again from the grave to offer to anyone who would believe in him eternal life, to be with him for forever, and to offer and give us abundant life now, today, through his power and presence every day, not just at Christmas, but 365 days of the year, every day. And we're reminded of this through the Christmas story and our times gathering and our celebration and reading the scriptures. And you guys, we cannot be at peace with God or with other people or even our own circumstances if we do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because he is the source, our source of joy and peace and love and hope for today and on into eternity. And so, you know, Christmas is that opportunity to remember that. And yet, again, no matter whether we're in a bitter season or a sweet season or that bland middle, there are so many things at Christmas that distract us from enjoying that sweet presence of Emmanuel, of God with us. We've got the gifts, we've got the decorations, we've got the meal planning, the parties, and then we've got our grief or our pain or our worries. And so what I want to ask you guys as you start thinking about Christmas and this next year, how are you doing at keeping your eyes on Jesus as you get ready for Christmas? For this next year, as you live your life. You know, when was the last time that you took time to really sit with Jesus, to open his word and talk with him about what you're reading, to talk with him about your life, you know, to listen for his counsel, to receive his comfort, to receive the direction in your life, to get ready for all the things you walk through at Christmas? Because honestly, this is a great time to be reminded that if we're too busy for that, then we are too busy. And so then the question is, what is it that we can rearrange to make room to be with God who is already with us? We feel often distant from him, but he didn't move. It's us. We're the ones that move. He's always with us. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit is always with you. So that feeling of disconnectedness can come back when we draw close into him. And, you know, going back to the thought that we all want the joy and the hope and the peace, and the very things that we try to do to get it are not the right things. And so the joy comes when we really create space and time to be thinking about God's goodness to us, to be reflecting on all the things that we have to be thankful for, and to praise him. It's starting to practice gratitude. We all have to replace the difficult, negative, worrying, despairing thoughts with thankfulness for who he is, what he has done, that he is with us, and the blessings in our lives, because it's a long list when you actually sit down to write it. And this was a practice that I had to learn really early in our marriage when I was first learning to walk with Christ, because in those years, Tom and I did struggle, and I really struggled with those negative thought patterns in my mind that I could not dislodge. And honestly, in the last couple of years, I've had to really be diligent about practicing that also with all the challenges of ministry. And in our marriage, again, we moved here 3 years ago, and we jumped into re-engage, and then we jumped into regen, and as we started realizing, there were just things that the Lord wanted to heal in us, to look deeper into in our lives that were impacting our marriage in just hard, frustrating ways. And I had to be very diligent in practicing gratitude and thankfulness to keep the presence and the joy ever on my mind. And so part of my journaling includes regularly listing out all the things I'm thankful for. It's just a habit, and that is the source of the joy in Christ. It can be what you do, whether you're in a bitter season, sweet season, bland season. And you know, we can all use times at Christmas, like when you're hanging ornaments on the tree, or you're wrapping gifts, or you're buying something, you're walking, you're doing it with your kids, or you're doing it in your family setting, we can talk about what that represents, why we're thankful. We can pray. And it's just all these things that we need to do to remember and be filled with joy. Joy comes in that regard. And you know, peace and hope definitely flood when we realize in a moment and we confess in a moment that we're trying to hold tightly and control something that is not ours to control. When we ask God to forgive us, when we keep short accounts and ask the person we just offended to forgive us. Like I had to do recently with my husband, as I was one night venting some pretty angry thoughts about how I wanted to help keep peace on family dinner night in our house when our adult kids were having a hard time working through some differences they had on something. You know, and praise God for husbands who are like, I don't think that's a good idea. You know, he helped me protect the peace, the true peace. And so Christmas reminds us that joy and peace come when we lay down our fears and we surrender our will and our ways to his. Because the antidote to fear and control is trust and surrender. And trust and surrender is what we see in the responses of Mary and the shepherds after the angels came and had departed. So after the angel appeared to Mary, we see in Luke 1, her response says this, I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come true. And then the angel left her. She was a young girl who had not been with a man and was just told she was going to conceive and bear a son that's going to save the world. But she responded in trust and surrender. And after the angels appeared to the shepherds, look at their response in Luke 2. It says, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And what's so interesting is we have to realize that the Israelites, the Jewish people, God's chosen people, had been living in a really dark, hard, cold existence because God had been silent with his people for 400 years before the angels came and broke that silence and began announcing what the Lord was going to do. But despite those circumstances, Mary, the shepherds, Joseph, the faithful of God's people, they were watching and they were waiting for God to speak and to move because they knew his word said that he had promised a Messiah would come. And so when he broke the silence through the angels, they did surrender their fears and their doubts, and they moved quickly to trust. They trusted that what God said was true. They trusted that he was with them, that he would do what he said he would do, and that his plan was good, and that he had a plan, and they were part of it. Do you trust God that way? You know, even after 400 years of silence, they trusted God. So as you approach Christmas, what are the things that hold you back from fully trusting God and surrendering your will and your ways to his? Are you looking for moments that you can gaze into the face of Jesus to ponder the presence of Emmanuel, the fact that he is with you? And are you seeking him in a way that helps you keep your hands open to him no matter what life brings your way at Christmas or around the corner or any day of our lives? Because it might be a high and it might be a low. We don't really know. Life is full of both. And yes, we want just the highs of life. Our prayers are full of, Lord, just the sweet. Please, just the sweet. Take away this pain. Take away the bitterness, the frustrations. And yet, we should not be afraid of those things because those difficult things are the very things that he uses to strengthen us and to grow our faith and to pull us close to him, so that we can get to know him in a more intimate, dependent way in our brokenness than we can in any moments of our joy. And so when you're going through hard things, remember the name Emmanuel. God is with us. And remember, he's with you through all things. He's working all things together for your good, for the good of others, and for his glory. You know, and sometimes we'll see those good things happen. He'll change our circumstances sometimes. Sometimes he doesn't, but we will see the fulfillment of everything he's doing in heaven. So we don't have to be afraid. And I think perhaps the art of living a life that contains true joy and true peace and true hope is in accepting the truth that life will be a bittersweet storyline for all of us. Just like it was for Jesus, just like it was for Mary, and all the heroes of our Christian faith that we study in His Word. And so what if we were to become what I'd consider hopeful realists? You know, aware of the pain, aware of the frustration and disappointment, but reaching out to Emmanuel with prayers of thanksgiving and asking Him for what we need each moment that we need it. And then releasing that tight grip and just trusting Him and resting Him in each moment when there's so much we can't control. Shauna Nyquist is a writer, and she expresses this concept beautifully. And there's a quote I want you to read on the screen. Feel free to take a picture. It's a good one to hang on your fridge. But she says, "Bittersweet is the idea that in all things, there's both something broken and something beautiful. That there's a moment of lightness on even the darkest of nights, a shadow of hope in every heartbreak, and that rejoicing is no less rich, even when it contains a splinter of sadness. It's the practice of believing that we really do need both the bitter and the sweet, and that a life of nothing but sweetness rots both your teeth and your soul. Bitter is what makes us strong. It's what forces us to push through. It's what helps us earn the lines on our faces and the calluses on our hands. Sweet is nice enough, but bittersweet is nuanced, beautiful, full of depth and complexity." Yeah, that's worth clapping for. Bittersweet. I learned the depth of the truth of that statement between the years, I'd say 2011 and 2015. There was a five-year period. We were still living back in Illinois, and it was a season where just back-to-back-to-back hard things just kept coming. I don't know if you've ever been in a season like that where it just seemed relentless. And so it was 2011 that our son left home and went to college, and it kind of just started that empty nest ache in my heart. And then the very next year, our daughter left home for college, which completed the empty nest ache in my heart. And then it was that same fall in 2012 that our senior pastor at our church had an affair with a young woman at our campus, and it just left the whole church devastated and broken, and us too. And then that January of 2013, we realized we needed more help in caring for Tom's mom, who had Alzheimer's, and so we had to place her in an Alzheimer's care unit. And she passed away a few years ago. And then that spring of 2013, I became the primary caregiver of my mom, who is only 72, and she was diagnosed with a very sudden, very aggressive cancer, and then the Lord took her home in June of 2013. And I thought we'd have 20 more years with her. I was not ready for Him to take her home. And so 2014 was just this year of grieving, so much loss, and adjusting to so much change. I mean, this was our kids, you know, our church, our parents, everything about home and family. And yet, I have to tell you, there was a sweetness during that time that I experienced during that time. You know, it was a time where so much of my strength and joy felt gone. I just was forced to depend on Him in a way for strength that I hadn't probably been forced to depend on before. And He made His presence very tangible to me during that time in many, many ways. I experienced Emmanuel, God with us, in deep, intimate ways, and it was a combination of being so thankful for the life He had given us and the people and the things in our lives, and yet grieving so much of the loss. And at that time, I definitely sensed He was doing a new work in me. He was stirring a new sense of hope and purpose, because He was clearly closing certain chapters And there is this sense that he was using those things to propel me forward and propel us forward and preparing us for something next. And so it was in 2015, that next year, that he opened the door for Tom and me to move to Dallas. And this is where our kids went to college and graduated and stayed and planted their lives. So we were able to be close to them again, which was a huge joy. And he was able to help me transition out of the corporate work I had done and start working full-time in a church, this church, a couple of years ago. And that's something I had longed for many years. You know, and none of that transition, there's a lot of stories in there. A lot of you were praying for a lot of things. It wasn't easy. And things aren't always easy, but they are good because he is with us. And that season marks such clear markers in my life of things he did and his sweet presence providing everything we need. And so we really need to stop fighting the bitter, and we need to start releasing that tight grip on life and start pressing into his presence, spending time with him, cooperating with God regarding the things he's trying to do in our lives. And that can be in a moment at Christmas, it can be in a season, it can be small, it can be big, but it's a perspective, it's a way to live. And it's remembering that Emmanuel means he is with us now, today, tomorrow, at Christmas, 365 days of the year. And so if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, we would love to talk with you, answer your questions, and talk more about how he wants to rescue you and come to dwell with you. And if he is your Savior, Christmas is a great time to reflect and be renewed and reset the rhythm of life so that you make room for him and for you to be together. And so I do just ask, with everything going on at Christmas, are you reaching for him? Are you trusting him to be the source of the joy and the peace that you desire, that we all desire?